Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we got a great show headed your way. So get comfortable. This could be a lot of fun. We've got a little bit of talk with the Ryder Cup, although, you know what? It just seems like it's further away than we thought it was, at least for me. I kind of thought when they finished the Tour Championship, hey, the Ryder Cup's all anybody's talking about, but then you got to wait like 3 or 4 weeks for it to actually get here. So we'll talk a little bit about it, but a couple of guys that are Ryder Cuppers will be playing the PGA Tour stop this week, which is at the Fortinet Championship, which has gone through a few iterations before and different sponsors, but it's the same course, Silverado Resort in Napa, a great course. And I did some play-by-play there a few years back when the flames literally were coming over the mountains as they had to wrap up the tournament quickly to get everybody out of there. Everything turned out to be okay, but it was one of those testy moments in California when you got fires kind of going all around. And that was a little bit of drama a few years back at Silverado, but the course is still there and a lot of fun, a lot of good players there. And we'll talk about that. We also have our good friend, Earl Forsey, PGA Tour radio man, who will be doing the play-by-play and talk to him about that and a few other things. Maybe some other sports events going on in the world, maybe even Washington-centric. We'll figure that one out as we get to it. In the meantime, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios joins us. How you doing, Frank?
We are going to talk about that Redskin situation, Redskin situation with Earl, and get his opinion on that for sure. Because he will have an opinion, I guarantee you, on this one. Yeah.
You think so?
The thing you and I have been talking about?
Yes. Yeah, I got you.
Absolutely.
Well,
let's everything's
Aaron
good.
Aaron Rodgers. All that stuff. There's a lot of drama happening.
Welcome to the Jets.
Jinx. Are you good? How's your leg, by the way, Frank? Frank ran into a hidden something,
steel,
like a base of a fan on a golf course
piece
like 2 weeks
steel,
ago,
yeah.
And kind of busted up your leg pretty good.
Pretty bad. Yeah, it's still. I'm still not playing golf. It's a big hole, still healing in my leg, and it was bad. It got infected, and so now I'm on antibiotics all that. Got to go back to the doctor next week. And, it's been very painful, buddy, I'll tell you. It's, you know, stupidity is painful.
Well, yeah, you don't always know something that's down there.
I didn't
there
see it, yeah.
But you didn't tear an Achilles, did you?
No, I did not.
See? So it could be worse.
No, but I bled all over a golf cart. I think they've taken it out of circulation at Bluegrass.
I'm not good with I'm not good with the sight of blood. I'm not one of those guys.
It was everywhere.
Yeah.
Even the cart girl freaked out when she pulled up and went, Oh my God. There's blood everywhere. Oh God.
I'd like to help you, Frank, but you're on your own.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's get him.
Hey, Earl, tell us what's going on in your world. Earl Forsey, again, voice of PGA Tour Radio, joining us. How you doing, Earl? We haven't talked to you in a while.
I'm doing great. I'm trying to figure out, Frank, you were injured playing golf. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay.
I was walking off. It was a post-birdie FU, if you know what that means. You know what? Everybody knows what a PBFU is. And I was walking off number 14 green. A portable fan was there. And the tongue, you couldn't see. It was, you know how they pull them around. They're huge fans. And they pull them around. It's like a trailer, you know. Well, I didn't see the curvature in the trailer down in the grass of the hitch. And I hit it, and it face-planted me across it and ripped my leg wide open. So, spoiled a good round.
Aaron Rodgers said, "The night is darkest before the dawn, and I shall rise yet again." That was his Instagram.
You know what I said?
That applies to you, I guess, right?
You know what I said?
Yeah, he didn't say the same thing.
Ow! In the words of Blazing Saddles.
You weren't quite as poetic, I'm betting, were you?
No. No. Anyway,
are you doing Fortinet, I'm guessing?
Yeah. By the way, Aaron Rodgers has about 61 million reasons to rise again, too. So that's a little different.
Now, doesn't he get paid no matter what, though?
Oh, sure. For the season. Yeah.
Yeah.
The injury.
Yeah. They're on the hook for other money, too. Yeah. He's talking about going forward. Well, 61 million, I think, over the next 2 years are kind of still the way these contracts work now with the guaranteed money is. It's different than it used to be. You know, still most players are. Yeah, very, very much year to year, but that's what all this bonus money is about. And these guarantees, like a year or two, a day or two after the quote league year starts in March before free agency, that's what all that's about. So teams are more on the hook for guys like Rodgers than they used to be, even when they're hurt.
It's the luck of the Jets, man. It just it's the jinx.
But the Giants are paying Daniel Jones $160 million. 80 of that guaranteed over the next couple of years. So that's maybe even worse.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that was I'll tell you what, that was a hell of a football game, though.
I know you want to get into golf, but at least when Aaron Rodgers comes back, you know he can play.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Difference there.
Well, so, I like football. Football's fine.
Well, of course you like football.
I love football.
But yes, well, back to the question. Yes, I'm doing Fortnite. We're getting set to go here and kick off the FedEx Cup fall.
There it is. This will be the,
which, by the way,
19th season of Golf Talk America, by the way, too.
Yeah, look at that.
Can you believe that? Can you believe
that? Smokes. Frank, we were just teenagers when we got started.
We were, weren't we?
Who knew?
So
who
was
knew?
Earl.
Keep going. Hey, Earl, so explain to people if they aren't familiar with how this is going and maybe any changes, because is the PGA Tour not talking about making adjustments for the fall season and what they're going to do as far as the points go and all that? But tell people kind of how that works, because most people would assume after the playoffs and the big tour championship in Atlanta and everything, the end of the season. But it's really not the end of the season, is it?
No, it is not, technically. You're right. The end of the FedEx Cup playoffs was the tour championship. But technically, the season does continue here now in the fall with these events, these seven events, a lot of the traditional fall events. But what's different this year, and, you know, for fans that maybe are not paying a lot of close attention to it, with the restructure and everything in golf on the PGA Tour, it's back to being a calendar year schedule starting in 2024. So it's not – these events used to start the next season, right? In the wraparound schedule days. That's not the case anymore. This is a continuation of the season mostly for the players who did not make the FedEx Cup playoffs, but a lot of these golfers have things to play for too, that didn't make the BMW Championship, because part of the new structure is top 50 from the previous season get into the century now, not just the winners. It was winners and top 30, those made the Tour Championship. Now it's top 50 from the previous year. And the century is the first of those signature events now, the no-cut 70 to 80 player events that they're going to play throughout the season with the elevated purses and the elite fields and that kind of thing. So those are very important events, obviously, for players. And if you win one of these seven fall events and you haven't won this year, you're in the century and you're playing golf in Maui a week after, January 1st. That's never a bad trip to make. That's a guaranteed week for you. That's signature event. Yeah. That's the first signature event. So those are the big, you know, events for these guys you're trying to get into. For others, while we know the top 70 players from the previous year that are already in and done and locked in for next year in the top 125, which is still the case, top 125. But the rest of that top 125 gets solidified through these events too. So players are going to be trying to play their way in and out over these events. You still get a two-year exemption, still 500 FedEx Cup points. The points pick up from where they left off after the FedEx St. Jude Championship, the first FedEx Cup playoff event. So those points there now pick up again here this week and the next seven events over the fall to determine those other spots. And there's other ways. I mean, it's there's a lot of layers to it. There's other ways players can make it into those signature events. One of them is in the FedEx Cup fall here. The players, there's an opportunity for the top 10 players on the FedEx Cup points list after the FedEx Cup fall, if they're not in the signature events, they will get into the two after the century. Now, you can get into the century as well, like I said, with a win. So there's all these different layers, and there's going to be opportunities for players throughout the season before those signature events. They're going to have kind of a ramp-up ways to qualify. It's called the Swing Five. There's five spots going to be available for each signature event in the few events leading up to it, like a little three-event kind of mini kind of competition, I guess, if you want to call it. Players who play well over a three-week stretch leading into it, the top five there would get into that signature event. So that's how they're making it up, and it's going to be generally it's 70 to 80 players is what the number is going to be for those signature events. Most of them are known now, the top 50 from this previous season, but all those other spots are kind of yet to be determined, and some of those will be determined here over the next couple of months.
Well, let's back up for a moment and talk about Maui. That coming up, everybody knows, you know, deaf, dumb, and blind know what happened out there. And it was awful and god-awful. But there's been some talk that it may or may not happen. Have you heard any more about that? Or
little above my pay grade, Frank. No, what you hear is what we hear. That's the tourists. You know, I mean, I'm not going to speak for anybody, but we know what they've said, that they plan on being there, you know, the first week of January, like always. And let's fingers crossed hope that is the case. But we do know there's possibly some extenuating circumstances. And, you know, that specific area, Kapalua, was fine, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that general area. But there's a lot of other things going on.
Well, they sure certainly can bring a lot of goodwill and good money to that. Needs to happen if any way possible,
that's
for sure.
And that's why a lot of people still want to see that happen, because you know, it's not that you're holding a sporting event there. What that it's a big deal. I mean, it's obviously a big thing. They can bring a lot of attention with all that PGA Tour does with charity and that type of thing, for maybe giving back and helping out there. But yeah, the plan right now, we're still months away from it. It's just it's been, you know, kind of said publicly that, yeah, the plan is still to, unless something changes, to start the season in Maui at the Century to get things going.
Hey, Earl, let's ask, and again, we're joined by Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio. Step back just a little bit. We haven't talked to you again in a while, and we'll kind of catch up to where we are. But your thoughts on how the Tour Championship, and I guess more specifically Victor Hovland, did what he did and is showing what he's showing, which has got to make the European Ryder Cup team thrilled that the hottest guy going is a member of their team. But how impressed were you by what he did in Atlanta?
You had to be really impressed, because you know, he went toe-to-toe with the big guns and really kind of out McIlroy, didn't he? You know, at the end, and all these guys.
Yeah, he did.
You know, that's the thing. It's everybody's got their own kind of way of playing, you know, and Hovland is, you know, he's a powerful dude. I mean, he's a really good all-around player. And then when he's on like he was, and he's cleaned up the short game, and that was his whole thing, and he recognized it and said it publicly in the interview after he won for the first time on tour. It's like, you know, my short game's awful. And paraphrasing, you know, it is what he said. It's just terrible. It's got to get better. And he's worked on it. It's one of those guys who recognized the weakness, worked on it, and he's always had the other parts of the game. And, man, just one big event after big event this year, and the biggest one of all to win the Tour Championship, and very impressively, and, you know, honestly, well-deserving of being the FedEx Cup champion with the way he came through in those big events down the stretch.
Let me ask you about Scottie Scheffler, and this will bleed into Ryder Cup as well, both Hovland, Scheffler, playing in Ryder Cup. But the fact that he's, I'm not saying being ridiculed, but certainly being pointed out as horrendous, and maybe that's too strong, but very, very sketchy putting, that when you talk Ryder Cup, it almost always seems to come down to putting. And it seems to come down to the fact that Europeans make putts so many times and the Americans haven't. And that's over the last 20 years.
You know,
are you concerned? Are you concerned about Scottie Scheffler's situation right now?
It's hard to, and you're right, because, you know, I spent the entire second half of the season, every time we talk about Scottie Scheffler, it was all these numbers I would bring up, and it's across the board. Most of the main metrics, he was number one. He had as good, you know, and you would ask players, anybody that is a who's who that knows golf, it was as good a ball striking season as maybe Tiger in the early 2000s. Maybe there's only like one of those Tiger seasons that was as good as Scottie Scheffler, except for the putting. And it was, no, the strokes game putting, and you can make what you want of numbers and all that, but it certainly was an outlier, and it was consistently way outside, you know, the top 100. I mean, I guess what was it, 150s in that range? And at some point, you're right, you do have to, as good as he's the, it's tough, you can't criticize, you bring it up. I'm always careful to do it, because he's the number one player in the world. I mean, because everything else is so good. That's why. I mean, that's the thing. How good if he?
Oh my God! If his putting was on,
he doesn't have to be the best putter in the world. He doesn't have to be top 10. if he is top 50 or top 75, he's winning a bunch more tournaments.
Yeah.
And then he's
Tiger-esque.
Almost untouchable at number one. That's the thing. So how is he number one? Because everything else is so good. I mean, across the board, everything else. And it's got to be frustrating because, you know, he wakes up every day and looks in the mirror and the number one play in the world is there. But people are questioning something. But every athlete, you know, it's this guy, well, he's fast, but, you know, he's not strong enough. Or he's strong, but he's not fast. So it comes with the territory. And his consolation is everything else across the board is brilliant. And he's kind of taken an approach and has for a couple of years that it'll work it out. It'll work, you know, at some point the ebb and the flow, and it'll come back the other way for him. Maybe that, and you know, it could happen that week. It could happen in Italy in a couple of weeks. Maybe it doesn't. But
great timing for it.
How do you not? But you know, he's number one. Like I said, I'll keep going back to that. He's the best player in the game, and until someone else knocks him off that pedestal, I mean, that's still the you know, the number one guy on your side. And I don't know if there's anybody that wouldn't take that every day of the week. And I just go back to players like, and you know, Ryder Cup, but international competition in general. But Ryder Cup, you know, Poulter, it didn't matter what kind of season he had. You get him in that competition, he was brilliant,
no kidding.
Right? And then you know, the one year they put Keimer on the team, and he was really struggling at that time for the most part. And he came through. I think he made that winning putt right at the end. Wasn't it the Oak Hill? I can't remember which one it was, but you know, so those guys, when you know, you talk about the pressure and all that, but you're counting on what happens more often than not is those guys, the best in the world, when that pressure is on, when those cameras are on and the tens of thousands, that's when they perform. They'll come through in that situation. They're not going to shy and shrink from that situation. That's when they rise to the occasion. That's what you're hoping for. For, you know, that just specifically the putting with him and with Justin Thomas and all that stuff, you just got to let it play out.
I'm kind of curious too. We're talking now about Fortinet starting today as we're doing the show this weekend in Napa. And normally, and most of the guys for Ryder Cup on both sides have their way of getting ready for Ryder Cup, which again is still a couple of weeks away. But a lot of times it's working on their game and with their coach and individual getting away from the tour stuff. But you've got both Max Homa and Justin Thomas on the team, and both of them playing Fortinet, Homa defending champion. You also have the captain, Zach Johnson, playing there as well. What's your theory on that as far as if you were thinking, okay, I'm on the Ryder Cup team, that's my focus now, and I got to get ready for it. Would you want to play competitive golf, and do you like that Justin Thomas is doing it since he's been on the sidelines so long, or do you think they should be working like Scotty, you would assume, with his putting almost nonstop every day, getting away from that and doing the putting? Is there one that favors more than the other, philosophy-wise?
For me, and I'm not them, but I always think, I think I'll go to football here if the season just started. I think playing guys in the preseason is a good thing. I think playing is a good way to get ready to play. I've always thought that. I think probably golf is the same way, but everybody's different. I mean, you know, Tiger would take some layoffs. Didn't seem to bother him too much, right? Yeah. It doesn't. You know, that's it. It's whatever, right? And Max Homa this week is looking for a three-peat. You know, still the last to do that is Stricker, you know, at the John Deere. So Homa's won it twice. So this is a place that's been very good for Max Homa. And a reason why, you know, one of the big reasons why he was part of that President's Cup team win a year ago in Charlotte, and why he's back on the Ryder Cup team now and part of the competition. So this is, I would think, a special tournament for him, a place he's gone back to back, and you're looking for a good vibe. Why not come back to a place, and he is, where he's won back-to-back years.
Stricker was my wild card pick for the Ryder Cup, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know.
It could have been.
I mean, it could have been.
Yeah. I mean, he's solid as a rock.
Yeah. Sorry, Earl.
No, that's okay. And the other thing with Justin Thomas, I mean, that's what he's been doing here, apparently, in recent weeks, because he didn't make the playoffs, right? So he's been working on his game, trying to solidify those things that he's, you know, kind of identified that have to get better, and in his case, much better. So I think for him, it's really good. He gets to test it, right? In a PGA Tour event, in competition, because you just don't know. I was just reading a piece on Billy Horschel this week, and he was talking about some of the changes he'd made that obviously did not work well for him last year. and that it was a thing where it was great, everything was great, practice great, until you got into the heat of competition, and then it was horrible. So that's what you just don't know until you play, and until you play for real, which is this event, you know, starting this week, this FedEx Cup fall. I think it's I don't think it's a problem for those guys at all. But everybody's different, right? I think that's capable. Personally, me, I'm kind of old school that way. I think, you know, you playing is a good thing if you want to play better, right? Or if you want to play well. I don't think competition and playing is a bad way to prep for something like that.
So what about the captain's picks? And I was there in Frisco when they made the announcement at PGA of America headquarters, and Zach was there, and some other guys were there as well. And then they brought in, video-wise, zoomed in all the guys they were picking. And I guess Justin's the one that would people are kind of going, okay, Keegan Bradley, did he deserve? How about Lucas Glover was red hot and maybe cooled off a little bit, but still. And yet a guy who didn't even play for the last 5 weeks is one of the picks in Morikawa. Obviously, they dipped into Live Tour and got Brooks Koepka, who was kind of an outsider. And now, you know, we all know the world is mishmashed of it. Now he's part of the inside and what's going on. What did you think about Zach Johnson's picks?
I've always thought in these things, you're the captain. What do they call it? Captain's picks, right? It's up to you. It's not up to the media. It's not up to the fans. It's not up. If everybody wants to look at the standings, what are you going to do that? Just use the standings, right? Top 12. That's it. Yeah. That's what that's for. So if he wants to pick you, Frank, and I, he can do that, right? That's his prerogative.
We almost made it, by the way.
We almost made it.
We were close.
I qualified for U.S. I qualified to be on the U.S. team. I'll tell you that. But not with my golf, just, you know. But that's it. I've always thought that debate. And you know what, guys? Here's the bottom line. Were they good picks? We'll find out Monday after the Ryder Cup. If they win, they're good. If they and if they don't win, he could have done something different. I mean, it's hindsight's always 20/20.
Yeah. It's going to be brutal if they don't win.
Yeah.
And this European team is stacked.
Well, and playing in Europe, right? I mean, whether there's a jinx or not, they haven't won in Europe, Frank, since, you know, like you were a senior at Ole Miss.
So well, maybe not that far back.
It's been a while, you know, and so they got to do something. I mean, I don't know if, and there's no Italians on the team. I've mentioned that before. It may not matter, but you know, as we know, this is,
well, you have an assistant captain now who's an Italian.
Yes, but I'm saying it's a bunch of countries, right? It's Europe. So versus the U.S., which is all one country. Now you've got Spaniards and you've got Portugal and Swedes and whatever. They're all, and the fact that it's in a country that doesn't have any of the players on the team, I don't know if that will matter or not. I would assume the fans, being Italian, will still cheer for the European, but will they be vocal about it? Or will they care as much as if it was in England or Scotland or somewhere where a number of the players might be from? Don't know.
Well, I want to hear Earl's opinion, but my opinion on this is it's in Italy, okay? So it's in Texas, or, you know, Europe is like the United States. Every country is kind of like a state. So there are going to be people coming from all over Europe, and they have a great rail system, by the way. There's going to be hysteria for this tournament. I predict it will be crazy.
Look, I'm half Italian, the proud grandson of Salvatore and Camilla Fusco, who were, you know, just over from Italy when they came over. So as a half Italian myself, I can say whatever the competition is there, the Italian fans are going to be passionate about it.
Absolutely.
You know, they'll enjoy it. And did you see some of the stuff that the U.S. team went over there? And it looks great. I mean, and it, you know, whether it's Northern Italy or wherever it is, and you know, my mom's side of the family, it's from Naples, which is just gorgeous. You know, so incredible. Anywhere you go, Rome, it doesn't matter where you go in Italy, it's great. I mean, it's just like, it doesn't matter.
It's Italy.
I was in France for the Olympics for in Albertville, which was right across the border. The Alps in the north, you know, northern Italy is right across the border.
Right there, yeah.
And I had some of the best Italian food I've ever had for like 2-3 weeks in France.
They're going to be carved out
of the Italian influence there.
They're going to be carved out. Our boys are going to pig out the whole time.
So that's a place I kind of like to be there, because you know, that's, I don't think that's going to be any problem. No matter where they hold the Ryder Cup, fans are going to show up from all sides, and there's going to be a lot of passion both ways. It, you know, they could hold it in my backyard, and.
Hazeltine,
you
know, was crazy.
You'd get 40,000 there, and it'd be, you know, 20,000 from each side.
Yeah, Hazeltine was absolutely bonkers the whole week. It was nuts. It was fun. It was a blast. But, I don't know. I feel like there's going to be a hell of a lot of support for the European team. A lot.
Yes. Well, there's definitely going to be, you know, 95.5% or whatever. There'll be some Americans there, but not enough to counter, I'm sure, the Europeans going crazy about the whole thing.
Well, we could send over the Philadelphia Eagles fans and let them. That would change the dynamic fairly quickly, don't you think?
Yeah, let's not do that.
That would get ugly quick.
Please. Yes, it would. Yeah. Yes, it
was Frank's idea. Let's just start World War III. Yeah, let's get the Eagles fans over there.
Oh, God.
Okay. Well, Earl, we've covered a lot of that, and your time's valuable, so we've only got a little bit of it, but we do have to, you know, kick off NFL season. Everybody's excited. How could you not be? And your Redskins turned it around. It looked like they were kind of struggling for a little bit, but turned it around. So,
well, the Commanders did. I don't know what NFL you're watching, but.
Yeah, sorry about
let's
that.
Let's back up before we jump into the.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Frank wanted to bring that up. Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Okay, the Redskins. That logo was designed by a Native American.
Yeah, you're not telling me anything we don't know, Frank.
I mean, why?
There's a lot of passion that it's still debatable. We've talked about this before. In this town, there are still fans now that aren't rooting for this team until they change back, and that's not happening.
The
new owner of the team, the guy that spent $6.05 billion, said that's not happening. And he was like me. He's from Montgomery County, Maryland. He's made it a little bit more successful than I have. But we're around the same I couldn't afford the team. I couldn't afford a ticket to the game. Right.
PSAs.
Now. But I'm saying he grew up in the same area as a fan of that team. And that with those players that I cheer, that I grew up rooting for. Sonny Jurgensen, Billy Kilmer, Joe Theismann.
John David Crow.
Theismann Monk. And, you know, no, not that far. But, you know, so really? you got to, you know, an owner. It's Josh Harris, who owns the 76ers in the NBA and the Devils in the NHL. And a lot of Philly fans are ticked that he owns this franchise, which I find is great. Who cares? as Mike Tomlin would say, we do not care. But he knows, but that's not going to happen. It's not. I've told you all along, I think eventually the name's going to change from what it is because it's still associated with the old owner who is toxic, you know, in this town.
Yeah, good point.
And probably that's the last kind of connection to him because it was just thrown together. Oh, we'll be the Commanders, you know. Whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that may change eventually. And, you know, these people seem to know what they're doing and do it right. And there is certainly a guy here. And the previous owner apparently had those connections. He just didn't know what he was doing. This owner hopefully does. I've been impressed. And I don't know. You see the covers where you are. And all of a sudden, they're darling of the national media.
Oh, yeah.
After the sale went through and everybody's talking about them. And yet Magic Johnson's in the stands because he's a part owner of the team. Everybody loves him. So it's all a feel-good story right now. As long as they just now, you know, start playing well and winning some games, I think the new ownership's going to, you know, help with doing that. And the thing with everybody else in the NFL, because this has been the franchise, you know, post the other owner, Jack Kent Cook, and all their Super Bowls for 25 years, this has been a punching bag of a franchise for everybody else around the league. Like, you know, they'll screw it up. They'll do whatever they do, and they'll lose a game. They'll mess up their quarterback situation. The tide has turned and all that, I think, now. And, you know, the sleeping giant has been poked, and it's awake in Washington. And they're dusting off the three Super Bowl trophies. And this is an ownership group that I think gets it. They may have to make a coaching change to do it, and they still probably need a quarterback to do it and all that. But, yeah, it's a different time. It's a different era. Everybody around here feels so much better about the team. You know, I was not. I do the pregame stuff. I still do unofficial coverage of the team and have done it for years. I still do it Sunday mornings during the fall, you know, when I'm not doing golf. So I'm still part of it, but I like the team. I support the team and, you know, ownership and everything. I can support the team without supporting ownership. And that's kind of been the case for a few years, but a lot of fans couldn't separate that. And they're back. I don't know if you saw any of the game last week, but it was always this has been a stadium for years where there's about 25% local fans and 75% Philly fans or Cowboy fans or Buffalo fans or, you know, whatever. Last week it was about 99.9% Commander fans, and it was full. And that's really the first time.
Yeah, that's fabulous.
In at least a decade since RG3 was a rookie that they've had that kind of support at home. And I think, you know, it's good. And it's hopefully going to be fun, but No, week one all around was wild.
Yeah, how do you feel? How do you feel about Dallas's performance in week one?
I mean, NFC East is already over, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest, Earl. It's done.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, Washington might as well not even play anymore. Don't you think?
Really? I think the Cowboys. See, I can be objective about this.
Okay, well, let's do that then.
You know, I have Cowboy fans in my. You know, I have Cowboy fans in my family.
I do know that.
Fans. I've had to put up for decades with the Cowboys,
the stuff.
Crap. I believe me. You know, there's as many Cowboy fans here as probably there is in Dallas, but I think you should know that there's a lot of Washington fans
Commanders.
Down in Dallas and has been. Yeah, it's hard. I love Dallas. I've loved them because you can talk about whether Dak Prescott is going to be the guy to eventually be able to win a title there, but that defense is as advertised. They were excellent last year. They embarrassed and humiliated the Giants on Sunday night. That was impressive to say the least. I was kind of always thinking about them ahead of Philly. I'm not a huge Philly guy. I like Jalen Hurts. I don't like their coach very much. I think that was just a season last year where everything came together. They lost a lot of players this offseason. They didn't look really good in week one. We don't know anything about week one. But this division, I'm trying to think the how long it's been in the NFC East since there's been a repeat champion. This is not a division
where 03 one team or something.
5 years. Yeah, it's been like 20 years. Yes.
Yeah.
It's always someone different. So if it's not going to be Philly, it's going to be Dallas, right? I mean, I think that's kind of simple.
The odds say, yeah.
You know, and that's where you are in an NFC East that, you know, probably is a little bit more down with Aaron Rodgers now not in Green Bay anymore, but they look good in their first game. The LA Rams showed some signs of life. Matthew Stafford looked great in week one, throwing to a bunch of guys that no one's ever heard of. I think they have 20 rookies on their team or something like that. It's amazing. With a coach that should have been the head coach here, by the way.
But the
old owner blew that. Sean McVay was, I mean, he was a quality control coach for Shanahan in town. You've got two coaches there, out San Francisco and LA, two guys that were on the staff here that should have been the next guys in line that weren't given a chance because the other owner didn't know what he was doing. So that's not going to happen anymore. So, and then you got a guy here right now that, you know, last year didn't know they were eliminated from the playoffs after week 17.
I did love that.
That was pretty good.
Who is old? What?
Believe me, I play that. I play that so much in the off season. Yeah. I've got quite a few from, you know, Ron's greatest hits. You can't do nice guy, and he's been through a lot, and he's a good guy, and he's done a lot for the psyche and everything around what was a crumbling franchise to hold it together. But that's got to end, you know.
I
can't have coaches that win 7 and 8 games not realize they're not in the playoffs anymore. It's especially one who is in charge of everything football. You know, he is the overseer of everything, and you got to know. Like I said the following week, I said if he'd have been listening to the pregame show, I could have told him because I did twice. I set up the scenarios on all that stuff. He loses, and then if this team wins, you're out. And so just listen to the show.
Does your heart bleed for the Jets?
No.
And I'm asking you,
that was quick.
No, not at all, because I hear this. First of all, it's New York. Again, we do not care. New York is, you know, not the center of sports.
I'm so tired of everything having to center around New York.
Usually,
all the media, ESPN, everything. It's New York. Let's show more Yankee highlights. Yankees could be 30 games out of
it.
Let's show some more highlights.
You know it does in our business. You know, you worked in New York. Well, you're the best. No, you're not. Yeah. You just worked in New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're part of the clique.
Right. Exactly.
So here's the thing with that. This week, all the Jets, fans. And look, I feel bad for them. But I'm part of a fan base that had that similar injury, not an Achilles, but a career-threatening injury to a quarterback a few years ago that was life-threatening.
Right.
It's been 25, whatever year. Well, it's now been 92. It's been 31 years.
Since the Heisman.
And not going on 32, really, come January, that this team here has won a championship. And I know the Jets have basically never won anything. But
right.
You know, well, so the Yankees are bad. So the Yankees are bad this year. Big, you know, they won 18,000 championships over the last 10 years. Who cares, right? You'll get over it. The Mets are the Mets, right? We've down here always dislike the Mets. So, but yet any bad, you know, season, whatever happens to them, it's just, you know, you just sit back and, well, if you're in D.C., you enjoy that. And the Giants are the Giants. A big rival have always been, you know, there's no love lost between, you know, Parcells and Gibbs days and the Giants and Washington back in those days. And, you know, the Jets are these teams. Well, it's always us. We can't have nice things. Exactly what this fan base has been going through for 25 years. So, New York Jets fans, you want to stand in line? It's behind us.
Okay.
We've been in that line for 30 years here. Well, you get in the back of the line.
Well, let's move to college football for just 1 minute, just 1 second here, and let's talk about Colorado. What are your thoughts, boys? I mean, they didn't look good in the second game against Nebraska, but they pulled it off.
I'll say this much: that, and having been around Deion as a player,
yeah, you were around him.
He is a very hard guy to like. He's hard to pull for. I get if it's your team, right? Suddenly that's Colorado, and they're 2-0. Okay, great. They beat a TCU team that is decimated from last year, nearly the same left. Team, and then a Nebraska team that's coming off nothing. So not two of the grandest wins of all time, but the fact that, going back to New York, that ESPN, everybody else wants to make this huge deal about Deion. Well, Deion wants to make a huge deal about Deion, and that's what's irritating. That's what's hard to take. I'm happy about a great story and coming from here and doing this and small school, and now he's at a big school. But he's so obnoxiously arrogant and on top of everybody about believing. Why didn't everybody believe what? That you're going to be 2-0 and beat two kind of average teams? Who was supposed to, and who knew? But he always acts like, I knew. And you guys didn't, so you guys suck. And so that's my two cents worth on Deion. I don't
because
care.
He picked a team.
I'm happy.
He cherry picked off everybody else's team.
I mean, it's an easier world today, certainly, to rebuild a team with the transfer portal.
I can't believe cowboy country you're disrespecting Deion Sanders. Former Washington defensive back, Deion Sanders, like that. Now you talk about...
God.
Here we go.
You want to talk about the arrogance? That's what I love about him. That's what a lot of people love about him. You know what? It ain't bragging if you're the best. And you want to brag about it?
He was the
are.
Best.
There wasn't a team in the NFL that threw his way. There wasn't a team in the NFL. I talked to Bobby Bowden about this before, years ago. Who's the best player to ever coach? And without hesitation, it's Deion Sanders. There's no doubt about it.
Sure. Phenomenal.
He was as good as advertised. Sports is entertainment. He's hella entertaining. And that was a one-win team on the bottom of someone like everyone's shoe they were scraping off last year. And they come out and they win a couple of games, and the national media can't get enough of them, and people are tuning in to Colorado games.
Yes, they are.
I was tuning in last week.
Me too.
Freaking Colorado game. Because, and you know what? If there's a coaching change here, bring him in. Tell him to bring Shador with him, please. bring everybody.
You can't be drinking the Kool-Aid.
I want that. Woo! I want that.
Oh,
I knew I'd get this started up.
I always like to say, because people can't differentiate between confidence and arrogance. They're basically the same thing. It's okay to be confident, but it's not okay to be arrogant. Well, when your arrogance is excelled only by your excellence, there's no problem with it.
Well, Tim?
And that's kind of that's what I have in my bio. So I'm rooting for guys like Deion Sanders. And you're wrong, Tim, because people do say, they've said all along, he can't coach. You want the Florida State job? Are you crazy? Deion Sanders? No way. Wouldn't they love to have him right now?
Why would they have given that job to him? Be honest, Earl. I mean,
because
it's an AD.
They stink.
You're not going to hire a guy that's never coached anywhere but Pee Wee?
Tim. And look what he's doing now. Why would they want him as coach?
You don't know that.
Why would they want him as coach? Because they haven't been good since Bobby Bowden was coaching that team.
That's fact.
That's why.
That's
because
a fact.
Every coach they hire there at a football factory is a disaster.
But somehow,
why wouldn't they want him there? Because they're not smart. That's why.
But somehow
because all the geniuses that want all these schools, you know. And Matt Rhule was another one. Apparently, you heard his son talk about Matt Rhule's not disrespecting everything. Well, you know, So he stunk in the NFL. Now he's stinking in college football. Congratulations. You know, another Chip Kelly success story. That role. Thank you.
Yeah, there's a parallel there. But I'm just saying, Deion is over the
top. All these guys are arrogant, Tim. But they wouldn't be at the level they were.
No, they're not. Arrogant. I mean, Michael Irvin was arrogant, right? Just sticking with Cowboys. Yeah. Michael Irvin was arrogant. I'm sure Emmett was arrogant. But there was a difference, too, because they had a nice side. Deion never showed a nice side. All Deion did was promote Deion, give himself his own nickname, by the way. Primetime came from him. Nobody gave it to him. That is a great nickname. Douchebag move number one. He had that on his gate at his house. When you drove up to his gate, it said Prime on his gate. I'm just saying, there are levels of arrogance. There are cocky guys that are self-confident and all that. Then there's Deion Sanders. It is so over the top. Oh, you can't believe
it. But again, he was one of the best, if not the best, ever in the NFL.
As a player. You know, got to prove something to coach.
Well, he's on his way to proving something as a coach right now.
Well, he's 2-0.
You can disparage the wins, but they've already doubled their win total. I don't care who you're playing, right? I mean, that's the thing. And there are national TV, and Fox is showing up, and ESPN showing up. They're doing game day, and you know, and McAfee's going to be there.
But you know why? They need content. They need something. They need a new story. They're tired of Saban. They're tired of Georgia. Oh, look what Deion's doing. Let's go there. And what if next thing you know they're 2-2, and they're going to be going, okay, let's move away from Colorado.
Maybe he's
the flavor of the month.
Maybe they will.
Yeah,
but I'm telling you, if he's going to get some phone calls. If he continues to succeed, he's going to be getting a lot of phone calls, and my guess is he's not going to be in Colorado very long if it keeps up.
He'll be at FSU. He'll end up at FSU.
All the people that didn't want him will be knocking down his door.
By the way, Florida State's not too bad. They didn't pick him, but suddenly they're not a bad team, are they? They look pretty good. So they found somebody who wasn't named Deion that somehow kind of turned him into a pretty good program.
25 years later? Well, congratulations. Let me give him a standing ovation.
Where's Jimbo Fisher?
But it would have been Deion 2 years ago.
You said, let me check the rankings. Let me see where they are. Number one, I'm not saying. No. You know, that was a team that lived atop the standing. So, you know, being not bad is what we're looking for at Maryland. I'm sure they won a little more than that in Tallahassee. You know, being not bad is okay in College Park, not in Tallahassee. So.
Oh, yeah.
So there.
So, Tim, what did Deion do? How did he diss you when you were running sports at CBS Dallas?
I definitely think there's some baggage.
There's something there.
Other than just his constant in and out of the locker room. Hey, Deion, can we get – yeah, I'll be right back. And we'd all sit there as media. This is just a general happen all the time. And we'd wait on Deion because he was going up against great wide receiver, whatever. And we'd have to talk to Deion about it. And he'd say, okay, I'll be right. And next thing, the PR guy would come in 15 minutes later and said, yeah, Deion just took off. What do you mean took? He's gone. He would do that constantly. He'd just be a jerk. He didn't have to do that. He could have said, hey, guys, don't have time. I'm not going to talk to you. He would make you wait there and then laugh in his car as he's driving away, knowing all the media are said. That's what I'm saying. Douchebag things. You don't have to do that. That's not about being great as a player. It's about being an arrogant jerk that doesn't know because he's never been told anything because he was a great athlete. He got everything he wanted, everything handed to him. Here's another example. We would go to pregame, go to D.C., getting ready for they'd get there. You get there on the plane. The first thing they do from the plane, get on a bus, go to the stadium, do a walkthrough. Guess what? Deion would be down here with some of the other DBs, safeties, and other defensive guys playing his own little touch football game, right? As they're getting ready to do a walkthrough, and the coaches would have to go, we got to get going on, blow a whistle here. We're going to do a walkthrough. Deion would wave them off until he was done playing his games over here with his DBs, who all just kissed his ass and had to do what Deion was doing, while the rest of the team down here. Robert, there you go. You wanted an example. There you go.
Who cares?
I care. I would care if I'm an owner of a team. If I'm the coach, I'm going, Deion, can you try to be a good teammate?
Because
now he talks about being a good teammate. He was all about Deion. And now as he wins two games,
what about Dick Steele? What about Dick Steele?
You know what a good teammate is? Someone that helps you win championships. That's a good teammate.
There you go. That's a good teammate.
You don't have to like him. John Riggins didn't like practicing. You're going to kick him off the team too? Yeah, you'd have been a hell of a coach. You've been really successful. Deion Sanders, I don't want him. Get rid of him. John Riggins.
I'm not saying you get rid of him. I want good discipline.
Yeah.
Give him some discipline. He influenced other guys that weren't superstar players.
Give me 22 of them. I'll give you a freaking Lombardi trophy every day.
You will not win with 22 Deons. No, you won't.
I'll win with 22 of the best players in the game. I certainly will. You know who else is a nightmare? Me. So.
You're Deion?
Wait till they get a load of me.
So guess what? The Fortnite Championship's coming up this week, folks.
And, only weak people can handle things like that.
There we go.
Strong can.
Oh, sure. Here we go.
Wow.
Where's Steve Johnson?
Yeah, let's get Steve on here.
Well, I'm sorry I brought up Colorado, guys.
Yeah, you shouldn't. No, I mean, it's a good story.
It is a great story. I love the story.
Tim's the guy that just wants to, you know.
Killing. No, it's a good story, but I'm just saying it's so overblown. It's a Kardashian story.
Tim is the hater. I love the story. I love Deion. I'm time, baby.
Prime. Yeah. Coach Prime. And his son does the shuffle poorly, okay? Poorly. Not as good as Deion can do it.
Oh, the dance.
So there. No. Yeah, the dance. No, not as good. But we wish Deion Sanders the best. I mean, he's had some pretty bad physical problems. Yeah. He's had some tough go. I mean, he's almost lost his leg and everything.
Yeah. He's lost some toes.
Hey, yeah, the other thing, too, with his, both of his kids. How many athlete sons, struggle, in their dad's shadow, and both of them are help, defense and the quarterback, too. So they're both good players, and they follow dad and helping him make work, too. So good for them.
Yeah. Well, I think the portal has changed the whole fabric of college football, period.
It's chaotic football free agency. It's NFL free agency without rules is what it is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
And I don't know where it's going to end, because it's been fun for fans because it's total chaos. And again, you can go from one win to being like the darling of the national media in the span of a summer.
Well, so. I thought we had the king of the portal. I mean, at Ole Miss, I really did, until Sanders did what he did with this Colorado team. So, Lane Kiffin was the king of the portal, but no longer.
In the old, it's not a popularity contest. Well, it is now in college football.
Yeah, it is.
And it works. That's why all these guys are building facilities with video games and screens and LED lights and all that stuff. You're trying to attract the kids to get them to come to your team, your school.
And you're getting great players, because the kid that goes to Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State that doesn't see playing time like he thought he would is ripe for the picking, and he'll go, and you'll get TCU, and you'll get all these other schools that don't have just good players. They've got great players that were five-star recruits just sitting on a bench at Alabama, and they're like, well, we'll come play with us. And SMU here in the backyard.
That's exactly right.
SMU's three guys from Alabama.
So it's hurt some of the schools that were able to sit on guys that could be playing somewhere else, and that's why they're good year after year after year. That's not happening anymore. So that's good, too. You're right. There's no doubt.
Bear Bryant, right? Just recruit everybody so Georgia and Florida couldn't get them.
And they can't do that anymore. And that's bad for them, bad for the Blue Bloods, but good for everybody else, no doubt. Yep. Right.
It's good for the fans. Yep. So,
all right, Earl, we appreciate your time. As always, have a great time. Who are you doing Fortinet with on the broadcast?
It's Mark Wilson.
Hey,
Wilson, Bill Rosinski, Mark Carnival. So
you got a good team. Yeah.
The 18. All right.
Fast Freddy's there. Great.
Yep. Fred's here.
Everybody tune in. SiriusXM, listen to PJ Tour Radio.
3 o'clock today. Yeah. 3 o'clock today, Eastern.
Yep. Three, and then 4 o'clock on the weekend. So
cool. We'll be listening for sure.
Eastern time.
All right, thank my you, friend. Earl. Thanks, Earl.
Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Take care, buddy.
Take care.
Have fun.
See ya. Earl Forsey, PGA Tour Radio.
You want to take a break?
Oh, let's take a quick break. Love those East Coast guys. They got some piss and vinegar, don't they?
Let's take a quick break.
We'll take a quick break, and we will come back and talk about some other stuff. I don't know what, but something. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and Tim will cool off and return after this. Stay with us.
What is HelloFresh? With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. You skip the trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Fall's right around the corner, folks, and HelloFresh is here to help you plan for the busy season ahead with tasty dishes delivered right to your front door or back door, wherever you tell them to deliver it to. Simply choose your recipes and pick your delivery date, then lay back and enjoy the last days of summer knowing dinner is covered. Parents have enough back-to-school shopping and planning to do, so why don't you let HelloFresh get the groceries and save you some cash with pre-portioned meals delivered right to your door. I got to tell you, folks, I use HelloFresh. They've been a sponsor of ours in the past. They're back again as a beloved sponsor because I love cooking HelloFresh meals. They're fantastic, and they just hit the spot. The portions are great. I love them. They're my favorite. So go to HelloFresh.com/50GTA and use code 50GTA for 50% off plus free shipping. That's 50GTA. That's Golf Talk America, right? 50GTA. Use that promo code and you get 50% off, plus you get free shipping. I love HelloFresh. I use it all the time, and it is the best. Go get you some.
Your business gets to a certain size and the cracks start to emerge. Things you used to do in a day are taking a week. You have too many manual processes. You don't have one source of truth. If this is you, you should know these three numbers: 36,000, 25, and 1. Okay? Let's go at them one by one. 36,000, that's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite's the number one cloud financial system, streamlining accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, and more. 25, NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. And then there's 1, because your business is one of a kind. So you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs, that's key performance indicators, in one efficient system with one source of truth. You manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need, all in one place. You know, I was in business for many, many years before I got into radio and TV. And I will tell you that we had dysfunctional systems that didn't talk to each other. So it took forever to get the information we needed to make smart decisions. Well, with the brand new NetSuite product that they're offering right now with an unprecedented offer, you can't go wrong. And their offer that NetSuite's providing makes everything possible for you. So here's what I want you to do. Right now, go download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at netsuite.com/golftalk. That's netsuite.com/golftalk to get your own KPI checklist. Folks, you need to do that today. That's netsuite.com/golftalk.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett joining you. Just finished up with Earl Forsey, voice of PGA Tour Radio.
Woo.
Talking about a little bit of everything, but a lot about Dion.
Woo, you boys got into it. Football. I was had the weapons.
It is personal with me in the sense of I've been around the guy. So yeah. It's not like, I say that on my local show here in Dallas. I'm like, I don't care one way or the other what Colorado does, but I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid and like, oh, Dion suddenly is the greatest coach ever. He coached Jackson State, small level, low level, right? That level of school. And now he's got two games at Colorado, and he's won them both. Okay. And he's played two teams that know it. That's all I'm saying.
Do you know who the golf coach was at Jackson State?
No, I don't.
He had a brother who played football for the Bears.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. His brother's name was Walter.
Peyton.
Eddie Peyton. Yeah. One of the nicest guys on the face of the earth when I was in Jackson, Mississippi.
Is he still there? Or are you saying
no, I don't think so. Coach. I haven't. He was the coach many, many, many years ago. And he helped me out a lot. I used to play golf with him. We had a blast. Really? Yeah. He had a good golf team, too. So Jackson State is one of the historical black colleges.
And to my point, to what you're saying, and going back and tying that in with Dion, is a Walter Peyton. There are great athletes throughout sports. Pick a sport.
Yes.
They're great.
Yes.
They don't have to be arrogant jerks.
Yeah.
Is all I'm saying.
Well, that's just the personality.
You can be and say, well, I'm going to look the other way. But You don't have to be.
And well, if Bowden did, Bobby Bowden looked the other way.
Heck yeah, everybody. That's what I'm saying. When you go to the walkthroughs, the coaches would not have tolerated anybody else keeping practice from starting because they want to finish a little flag football game they're doing over it. But Deion would make them do it, and they would suck it up because, yeah, Deion's the best cornerback in the league, blah, 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 Hall of Famer. All I'm saying is every athlete who's great, everyone who's isn't that guy. And I don't
I disagree
more with Earl. You can't have 22 Deions, and it's going to work. Promise you. Because all they cared about was him, me, just me. That's all they cared about.
Well, here's what I care about. What I care about is our season starting again. Golf's coming up again. We're going to have a lot of fun in the what used to be the silly season. There are going to be some great tournaments. There's a tournament here this week in Nashville, Tennessee, on the Corn Ferry Tour. Yes.
Oh,
Brant
nice.
Snedeker sponsors this tournament, the Simmons Bank Classic or Open. And Brant, of course, is the big guy behind it. Of course, Simmons Bank is the big guy behind it.
Yeah, but he's like the face of it.
But he's going to be here down at the Grove. Fabulous layout golf course. I'll be down there, so it'll be a lot of fun. We'll give you a report next week on that.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's nice. Going on. So Corn Ferry's kicking. PGA Tour's kicking. Live Golf is kicking. And we will be in Miami for their season team finales.
Isn't that kind of weird how that just kind of was huge when it all came down? And when did it come down? June? When it all came down?
No, it's not weird at all. That it's quiet? No.
And now it's quiet?
No, not at all. They're negotiating, they're working, and they're not going to do it in public. Which Tim, you know that for sure. In corporate America, that's what happens. You can't negotiate in the open.
But they did negotiate to get to the point where they made the announcement. What's going on now?
Well, they're working to try. The announcement was that they were going to work on an agreement.
In principle, right.
To come together. And that's what they're working on. All the I's and T's and crosses and tots and dollars and cents and how are we going to punish this guy and not punish this guy. And all that's going on right now. So we'll see.
I just think it's a little weird that we don't hear like a peep.
Should I say anything about the brand of appliances that I have in this house here in Nashville?
No.
I can't say the name. I can't at all. But anyway.
Your refrigerator broke.
Yeah, and it's new, basically. One, just barely out of warranty, and ta-da.
Barely. That's all it takes.
Yeah, but barely ruined a load of meat and fish in my freezer. Ruined because I didn't know it, and of course everybody said, "Well, you can put that in on your insurance." Yeah, right. I'm going to do that on my insurance. No, I don't think so. So anyway, I get to go buy a refrigerator today. So
okay, well there you go. That's a fun day
because they can't come out and fix it until I told the people from the appliance repair place that I would be dead on the doorstep by the time that they got here from malnourishment.
Jeez.
I did. I said, I'll just be dead on the doorstep, but just step over me and go ahead and fix the damn thing. You heard me early this morning when we talked. I was going off like a bomb. But anyway, I'm not going to say the brand. I'm not going to say it. Can't do it.
It'll be all right.
We'll get sued. But, I'm going to buy the same brand again because all the other appliances are of that same brand. So
let me ask you this. Ryder Cup. Who carries that? Is that all Golf Channel? Is that NBC?
The Ryder Cup? No. Ryder Cup is carried by
NBC, I think, isn't it? Is it NBC?
You know what? I thought I knew.
You kind of acted like you did.
Yeah. I thought, I'm not, you know what? I'm not positive.
It's
NBC or CBS.
Ryder Cup.
I think it's probably Nance.
I don't think Nance has ever done, has he done Ryder Cups?
You know, that's for another show. We'll look that up.
Figure that one out.
Are you looking right now on your iPad to see?
No, I'm not. I'm kind of. Okay. But anyway,
I was sitting here cleaning my 9mm. I was going to send it to you for Earl.
I'm not a record guy. Are you? Like, can you record?
No, I hate that. I hate that. I'm recording it. No, I don't want. I want to see it live as it happens.
I'll get up at 5 a.m, but that's about when it'll be on, won't it? Like that, 4 or 5?
Well,
our time, 6?
Yeah, 5 o'clock.
Because they're Italy, 6 hours ahead. So if they're going to be teeing off at noonish or so. Then that's going to be, 4 a.m, 5 a.m
our
time.
Probably 4 or 5 in the morning.
I'll record it because I want to maybe rewind and look at it. But I'm not the guy who can wake up and then do my thing. And now it's 10 o'clock and it's half over or already over and then not listen to anybody or not know. I want to know. Yeah, as it's happening.
I do too.
I mean, that's so.
I will not get up. I will sit up in bed. I'll press the little button, go, sit up, and turn on the TV, watch it in bed, put my headphones on.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
I can't wait either. But I can't wait for you know, to see the tournament out in Napa this week. That's going to be pretty and fun.
Yeah.
Ryder Cup is a big deal. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
And by the way, our next show, we'll have some sound from some of those guys. The guys that were picked for Ryder Cup. Yep. We've got some interviews.
Yes, we do.
With Colin and Justin and Jordan and Ricky and Brooks and Sam and all the guys. So Zach Johnson, the captain. So we'll give you some of that too and let you know what they think about being picked for the team, being on the team, playing in Italy and trying to win in Europe for the first time since before any of them were born. I mean, none of them have been alive, I don't think. Not mistaken, since they didn't pick Stricker. No.
Hey, listen.
None have been alive since they won.
Speaking of this week and this week's tournament, you want to put a bet on whether JT makes the cut or not?
I'm going to go with he does make the cut. Do you think he won't?
Is there a cut this week? Isn't this an elevated event? Fortinet?
I don't think so. I think the Fortinet is.
Is a cut event?
What the heck? Why is our world upside down?
Because we've been off this for 2 weeks and we just go, buh.
We don't have
and football season's here, and I've been concentrating on that. Sorry, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't think JT's going to have a great performance. But there were rumors out there that he was not working with his father, and that was a bunch of bunk. I mean, don't leave your dad, for heaven's sakes. I mean, he got you there; he can get you back. Just screw your head back on right.
Yeah. Well, so, but at the same time, I understand when a guy goes through slumps. He could maybe, I would see this and not be have a problem with it, is have his dad just kind of be an assistant coach now, right? As opposed to maybe the only voice in my head.
Well, his father's good friends with a couple of guys. I'm not going to mention names, but a couple of big time golf coaches, and they confer and he'll have them look at him and then he talks to them about it.
So maybe that's more of what he's going to do.
That's what he's been doing.
Have his dad there as a sounding board, but I get when you go from Butch Harmon to this guy to that, sometimes you just like owners get rid of coaches, not because the guy's horrible or the players need a different voice, right? They need a different guy. That's by the way, I think
why the Mormons have so many wives, right? No, never mind. We're in trouble for that one. Just kidding.
I think there's got to be a cut because there's well over 100 players. I'm here.
Yeah, so. There's a cut.
Yeah,
I think he makes the cut.
I think he does too. I think he goes off in a little bit from where we're standing right now, but I think he. He knows that he has to. Who's he playing with? He's playing with Thigala, and he's playing with Akshay Bhatia. I don't think I know him. But Thigala is a hell of a player.
I would be into the Cabernet if I were out there right now.
Oh,
I love Cab. Love a good Cab. There's just a touch.
It is a tough place to get to, I'll say that.
It is.
As you get into Napa, there aren't any super highways through Napa. It's all beautiful little rolling two-lane. So you got to get there. When I was doing the event, you had to get there way early just to beat the crowd that was on the same roads trying to get into the tournament.
Right.
So you weren't sitting there in two-lane highway, backed up 2 miles to, It's a quiet little resort, if you will, that would be a great place to go visit. It's a kind of a weird place for a PJ Tour event because most PJ Tour events are built for that kind of thing, right? They've got parking lots and highways and systems to get people in and out and all.
Well, that's like East Lake.
This is just sleepy little Napa.
You know? East Lake's ridiculously difficult to get in and out of, and parking and all that. Yeah, it's in a neighborhood.
It's not made for that kind of thing. So
no, no.
Anyway, all right. I think we're about to ready to wrap this up.
Goodbye, me. I just want to shout out to my friends at PXG. Thank you. New apparel's out at PXG. Go to pxg.com and check it out. New stuff, and I'm going to the mailbox every day to see when my new stuff gets here. PXG.
I played yesterday, by the way, Frank. I didn't mention this. Played yesterday. At my course, which is Prestonwood here in Dallas, which is an invited course. Invited our big sponsor, and thank you, Invited, for everything they do. Check them out at invitedclubs.com. I had a very Jekyll and Hyde round. Front nine, I almost wasn't sure I knew how to play golf. It was that weird. I'm like, what? Where did that ball go? I mean, just terrible. And I kept standing back and going, okay, my swing, something was wrong. And I birdied 10. So I start on the back nine. I mean, I get to the back nine, and I birdie I'm like, okay. And the back nine went great. So I'm like, what? It wasn't horrible in the front. It was just.
What did you do different?
I don't know. That's a good question.
See,
if I was smart, I would know. But I just.
Well, no, you need somebody to look at you and say, watch. What am I doing different?
Bit, you know? Yeah. I mean, I hit some horrible shots in the front. Like,
didn't fall over a fan.
You know, used to everything being straight down the middle 300 yards, but I was like, what the hell? So I was about ready to quit. I thought, well, this is just a bad day to be playing. But at the same time, I thought, no, I got to turn this around, because if I go play in a big tournament, which, you know, I do, I play in a lot of big-time events, big tournaments.
You are going to be doing something big-time. We'll talk about that next week.
I have to turn it around. So,
you're about to do something really big-time. I'm going to play with a big-time guy. So that's going to be fun.
Yes, I am. Should be a good time. Should be fun. All right. That's all I got for you.
That's all you got?
All right. We're done.
Well, then let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. Get us out.
Hey, thanks to Earl Forsey for joining us again. Listen to those guys, Earl and the boys, doing the PGA Tour radio thing for the Fortinet Championship this weekend. So thank you, Earl, for being with us. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Appreciate each and every one of you every time to listen to us. Tell all your friends to listen to us as well. And we'll see you next time right here on Golf Talk America.